mediaweek.com.au. This is Media Week's radio industry podcast, recorded at MCM Studios.
And welcome back to another radio podcast with Media Week. We have the editor here of Media Week, James Manning. Hi, James.
Hi, Brendan.
Great to see you again. Also, myself, the moderator. And on the line today, we have the National Content Director, Guy Dobson for Austereo. Hi, Guy.
G'day, Brendan. G'day, James. First and foremost, I'd just like to say it's an honour and a privilege to be heard on your podcast. I'm glad I'm the first one to do this podcast too, James.
From Austereo.
Oh, from Austereo, is that right? Just a couple of things. My role as the Content Director of Australia leads me to critique a lot of talent. And, James, you should lift your vibe up. You're a little churlish in sound, as I hear. And, Brendan, you're a bit too overhyped, mate, so just pull it back a bit, dude.
Oh, me? Okay, I will. Sorry, it must be the radio back.
Okay, we've got to get the yin and yang a bit more balanced in here,
All right, Brendan, let's get on with boys. My time is very expensive.
We understand that, and we're very privileged to be getting a bit of it. Look, we might just start off. Just tell us a little bit about the scope of your job. It sounds if you have to cover a lot of the country and with a lot of stations.
Yeah, look, I've been in this role for 3 years now, and all I can say is it's getting extremely better for me because we've got some extremely great people that work alongside me and next to me in the network. I name them Craig Bruce, Dave Cameron, Rex Morris, and all our content directors around Australia. So since I've been there for 3 years, part of the philosophy behind what we do is to empower and educate, and we've certainly done that. And these guys are as good as I am or any of my predecessors. So the company's in great hands, and my workload is I won't say halved, but in terms of taking a macro helicopter view at the business and the industry, that's pretty much what I do now. And guys like Craig and Rex and Dave execute immaculately around the country. So we've got a pretty good system in place in Austereo.
So, what reaction do you receive about Hamish and Andy, who are on fire at the moment in the network? What agents? What reaction do you receive from agencies, clients?
Look, they're booked out. I mean, those guys are a once in a every 50-year phenomena. I mean, when you look at a couple of surveys in Melbourne, 25% of the drive time audience in a very cluttered and crowded market, which hasn't been that way in Melbourne for, it's just the most crowded it's ever been in terms of FM stations. And these guys are pulling one in every four radio listeners listen to them. You know, at one stage, over 2.x million, listeners a week. And, it's probably the largest media in Australia, when you consider Underbelly does whatever numbers that does at its peak, and shows like Generation Game the other day on Channel 10 at 1.6, these guys do over 2 point something a week consistently. So they're just an amazing duo, and those that advertise within Hamish and Andy have absolutely no qualms or queries about doing so, and they get results. So.
I think I've probably asked you this before, Guy, and I've got a clue what you might say, but for a drive show, they're amazing figures. You just wonder what those guys might be able to achieve in a breakfast slot.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Do some shows translate to breakfast as well as they do to a drive time day part? We had Shebang, successful drive show for its time.
Yes.
Didn't overly make the transition to breakfast. I guess we had, the D Generation back in the old Eon FM days that were a breakfast show. But, Martin Malloy did Drive, part of the D Generation. They kicked ass. So that was a breakfast show, not translating back in those days, but definitely translating in a drive time show on Austereo back in the early to mid-90s. It's a very interesting question, that one. How long is a piece of string? I can't give you an answer. We've tried it. We've failed. Others might try it and be successful. To say, won't stop trying, putting great drive shows into breakfast.
But Hamish and Andy must be bringing in big dollars, fighting above their weight on a national drive show as well. So why would you change
that? I don't quite understand that question there, Brendan.
Well, why would you move them from drive to breakfast when they're pulling financial figures?
Right, it's a very good question. They're a great drive show, these guys. I have no doubt if there was any one show that could make the transition to breakfast, it would be these guys. But you're right, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're doing very well in drive, and we're very happy to have them there too.
One of the holy grails of radio has been to try and find a breakfast show that you could network. It's been pretty hard for people who've tried in the past. You wonder sometimes if they might be able to even make that transition.
Yeah, look, I have Kyle will tell you this. I have a very, very stringent or strident view on that. Breakfast has to be local. And, you know, I've just come back from a couple of weeks in the States talking to radio station owners and program directors over there. And, breakfast has to be local. It's the parish pump in the morning. It's the show that sets the pentameter of the city and all those other old cliches. And, you know, I don't know if certainly in Australia with the vagaries of each of our distant cities, you know, I mean, Brisbane's different to Sydney, it's different to Melbourne, and Perth is certainly different again. I just don't know whether shows can translate cross borders in this country, certainly in that hour of the day. I think you've got to be local. I think from 9 o'clock onwards, you can be anywhere you like, you know. I certainly think in some instances at some radio stations, not just here, but around the world, you know, you could be broadcasting out of Yass from 9 a.m. on many of them, and no one would know, you know. Your localism goes down to about 1 out of 10. But, you know, breakfast is critical to be local. History has proven that for us. It's also proven that in many radio stations in the States. Hamish and Andy, as I said, you know, phenomenal duo, phenomenal team that put that show together and, you know, possibly could translate. But would they be as strong as Aaron Drive? Once again, how long is a piece of string? I can't answer that question.
Sure.
What was the best thing you heard on breakfast radio this morning? Was it the Kyle Sanderlands versus Merrick?
I didn't listen to any breakfast radio this morning because I caught a plane to come to Melbourne, so I was up at 5. Mm. And pretty much, I think, the taxi driver, I think, had some talk radio station on, so that was sort of droning away in the background. So,
okay, what was the best thing you heard yesterday or this week that stood out and you thought, wow, that was pretty good?
That's a very good question. God, I hear so many things. I tend to listen to our own radio stations. I haven't been listening from an entertainment point of view this week. I've been listening more from a group content or program director's point of view this week. Doing monitors of our radio stations in Sydney. So I'm listening more for the technical side of things as to what we should or shouldn't be doing. Music rotations and what songs go well with what songs and all that kind of stuff. So
have you changed?
I've heard some very good music scheduling this week on some of our radio stations.
Have you changed any of your scheduling or strategies because of the current way that the ratings are operating? The changes that have been around for at the start of the year?
Nah, too early to tell, mate. Too early to tell.
I was just interested in you say you're listening for business and you listen for pleasure. Just talk us through a little bit about that. When you listen for business, what are you doing? You're taking notes,
that. The last time I listened for pleasure was to the Love God. It was actually last night I listened to the Love God. And,
did you get to your request?
I actually rang and got a song played, which was quite amazing.
Did you?
I did too. Just for the hell of it. No, I didn't. business and pleasure. Look, you know, we listen to our radio stations with an ear to fixing them if we think things are wrong, and if we're doing great stuff, then we listen for that and we do more of that, and that's listening for business. That can be pleasurable as well. Certainly, when our breakfast shows around the country nail some stuff. I thought the Miff Warhurst Burnhurd wrestling this week at Triple M Melbourne was fantastic. I thought the Car and Feather Sam Newman, a 5 Triple M promotion out of Adelaide, with thanks to Channel 9, with 5,000 people down there at the mall, was sensational for Triple M in Adelaide to do that. It's just incredible. We've done some really good stuff. Disaster Chef on B105 we're doing at the moment is wonderful. You mentioned the Kyle thing that was sent to me on a viral email today, which I had a good listen to, and I thought Kyle was very reserved. God, a few years ago, would have gone harder. Probably would have lost our license. I thought he handled it very maturely. Those things can be pleasurable as well.
Part of the strategy, is it to end up in the newspaper the next day?
Part of my goal is to get one of those extra read all about it newspaper billboards at the front of newsagents. It's always been my goal to get something on one of those. And I think, it's a lofty ideal to aspire to. I think if you can get one of those, you've probably done your job. Within reason, of course. I.e. not breaking any broadcast/moral laws. It's definitely a buzz. I mean, Herald Sun today in Melbourne, we had, stuff we generated was on page 3 and page 7, it was good to see.
Well, that's the talent of Paul Dowsley at work down there.
Very talented man. We have some very, very, very good people behind the scenes in Austereo.
Yeah. I was going to say the modern-day equivalent of that newsagent poster, of course, is the front page of the website. And on that score. You've been doing very well lately.
On the internet?
Yeah, like on the homepage.
That's a later podcaster, head of digital strategy, Jeremy McVean.
Yes.
Yeah, we're very proud of what we do with our websites. We've come a long way in the digital space and certainly online. And, we're innovative and we're creative and we're certainly leaders in Australia in terms of what happens online. And that's a testament to our team that worked very, very hard for 3 or 4 years down there to build that up. And, you know, having the number one websites in Australia and Triple M, in Sydney and Melbourne doing pretty well too, is a testament to those guys and the hard work and the dedication they put into that.
Do the websites bring in a lot of money?
Oh, look, mate, we're doing well with it in terms of other media organisations and radio stations around the world. Very well, actually. No figures, no pack drill. But, I think what you've got with websites now, it's a necessary part of business. It's like, you know, putting fluoride in toothpaste. Like, if you don't have it, you're not going to move it off the shelf. You actually need it as part of your business. And those that don't have it and don't do it well, probably missing out.
Do you pay big money for web directors?
Do we pay big money for web directors? We
like what I'm saying is...
fair and reasonable rates for web directors. Do you want to be one?
Yeah, and how much?
You're obviously out of work working for James Manning and Media Week.
Oh, God, you're a funny man.
Mate, I refuse to discuss people's wages on a podcast.
Well, there goes the next half dozen questions. Okay,
wages will not be discussed. Revenue will not be discussed. What else won't be discussed? We won't discuss any targeting issues or strategic issues. It's not part of this podcast to give away trade secrets to people.
Can you talk about talent? Where are you finding talent? And I know
very,
you...
very, very good question.
Yes.
Where are we finding talent? It's the best question you've asked, mate. everywhere, really. We're finding it online. We're finding it knocking on our door. It's word of mouth. People say this guy's good. Go and see this guy. We're finding him at comedy shows. We're finding him on MySpace. We're developing talent within our ranks ourselves. Finding hidden talents with people we've had in our building for years. I mean, Fifi was one of those for a start. You can choose it from the sporting field. You can choose it from the comedy field. Choose it from the radio field if you want.
And what made you think you might be able to turn up some talent in the advertising agencies? Where did that come from?
I'll pay some homage to Denton and his crew there at the Gruen Transfer. I thought, you know, if the ABC can end up getting free content out of some creators and advertising agencies, and some of the stuff they've done has been bloody good, bloody funny.
Yeah.
I kind of sat there one night thinking, you know, there is a radio version of this. And when I used to work in Canada at a radio station in Vancouver, at Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, they had a show on called Your Own Radio Show, creatively titled. But basically, it was for the public to come in and pretty much host 3 hours of a Sunday night. So mixing those two ideas together, and the fact that, you know, it's another trench we can possibly, you know, find and pull some people out of, and, you know, for a minimal cost in terms of we've got airtime. Who wants it? Agencies are cynical. Just get on to campaignbrief.com.au and have a look at the blog there today. They're very cynical, and they think they can always do it better than us, certainly creatively. And in many respects, they probably can. Well, you know, put your money where your mouth is and come and do it. So, you know, the next logical extension for us guys is semi-pro radio as a Sunday night show on Triple M. Kick it off with the agency guys. If we find some talent out of this, great. And we actually mean that. If we find talent out of this, great. And if we don't, we'll just open up for the public to come in and do semi-pro radio themselves. And, the fact that listener-generated content is pretty big online, you know, I see no reason why it can't be big on FM as well.
And why are you putting this raw talent on Triple M and not on the Today Network?
Just logically seems to fit the Triple M strategy at this stage. Logical fit for Triple M. We could probably do a version for the Today Network. We are betrothed to a lot of shows that MCM networks put out, and the bulk of those shows are carried on the Today Network, certainly on weekends. So, you know, time is minimal there. Triple M has a bit more free time in terms of the weekend. So,
Okay. And tell us about Triple M, Sydney at the moment.
Yep. Or, what do you want to know about that, mate?
Yeah, well, Triple M Sydney, we've just been watching the relaunch that happened in November last year.
Yep.
Yeah, what sort of audience are you pitching it to, and what's the sort of
rock
position
lovers,
of the
sport
station?
Lovers, comedy lovers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the three brand values of Triple M. You know, it's a station we relaunched, and we're tweaking every day and every week to get it right, and that's how we operate at Austereo. You know, we don't accept failure. And as I said, you know, 14 radio stations around the network, we've got 12 right, and we've got two that we've relaunched, 2 Triple M and 3 Triple M. It's Melbourne and Sydney, and you know, where the distance between being very successful in Sydney and not that successful is very, very close. You know, any rumours about demise there are greatly exaggerated.
When you say close, isn't there a fair gulf at the moment between you and the top of the market?
Well, let's forget the top of the market for the moment, because that's Today FM, and we'd like to keep that gulf there.
Yeah,
sure. But for the next pack of radio stations, one of them goes down a point and a half, we go up a point and a half, you know, all of a sudden
you're
finding sixth position becomes fourth position very damn quickly.
Right.
You know, the key for us at the moment, though, is not to build a product that's going to be inconsistent. We just want to get it to a stage where, you know, whatever we end up with at the end of the day, we're going to end up with that, you know, survey upon survey upon survey.
Is the challenge with Triple M, I mean, when you look at the Today Network, that seems a very simple strategy. You play the hit songs and you don't ever veer from that pretty much, and it works. People get it. But if you look at Triple M, it seems to be a slightly different approach in each market, and it's...
Well, I don't know what's not to get with Triple M. It's you know, as far as Sydney and Melbourne's concerned, it's a rock station. Very simple. So, you know, it's a question of how we can broaden that out and how we can... you know, that's a breakfast show issue. I mean, at the end of the day, guys, it all ends and begins with the breakfast show.
So you think that's
so
right?
So we're working through those in both those cities, and you know, we're not saying we've got them 100% right, but you know, what we do is we go back to the well, we have a look again, we tweak, we reassess, and we do that on a constant basis. So you know, that's pretty much how we work. So
I'll tell you one thing I like about the breakfast show at the moment is the injection of blokiness, the sports elements to the show, like the NRL updates and stuff like that. That sounds good.
Okay, well, thank you for that, mate.
Sign well, I didn't hear. I didn't hear it in February or March. I'm hearing it now.
You'll be hearing a lot more improvements from all our shows on both sides of the network, because that's, you know, as I said, that's how we operate. But you know, Kaizen, the art of continual improvement. Once again, there's that old business building cliche, but you know, it's pretty much what our network was built on. But the question you ask about what was that again, James?
The challenge
about Triple M being harder to deal with than say Today, which is easier.
You know, well, I just think from point of view of a listener, now I know what I'm going to get when I go to Today FM. I know I'm going to get hit songs. You say rock, and I go to Triple M. I'm not sure if it could be the Veronicas or Silverchair or Midnight Oil, and that covers a pretty wide range of.
Yeah, well, fortunately or unfortunately, rock's changed. I mean, you know, when you've got Pink on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine. You know, rock music's a broader church of music these days. It's not just a simple pub rock from the 80s. Hmm. You know, our audience have told us that they accept Pink as a rock star. And, you know, certainly our research on those songs are very, very strong for our target. You know, Today FM and Fox FM success in Sydney and Melbourne, you know, probably a result as well as of Triple M being slightly weaker in both those markets. So, you know, we have a very fine line to tread between, you know, our sister radio stations, Fox and Today, in those two cities, and the crowded markets. And you know, as I said before, breakfast is key to success, and that's really what we're going to be focusing on.
What about marketing? What sort of money do you spend, or what sort of strategies do you employ to market your radio stations? Is it mostly marketing the breakfast shows? I'm seeing a lot of billboards for Triple M in the Sydney market.
Yeah, no, it's keeping the brand alive in all cities. All of our geographies get a fair whack of what we consider fair and reasonable marketing dollars. It's important to let your audience know that they've made the right choice. It's important to keep your breakfast shows and your format front of mind. You know, for the Today FMs, it's market the star power, which is what the brand's about. You know, for the Triple M's, it's you know, we're finding new personalities in Sydney and Melbourne, so it's getting those guys out and about. And for the lesser geographies of Brisbane, Adelaide, and Mix in Perth, it's certainly marketing the brands. But you know, we're very active, and we'll continue to be too.
What's most effective? Is it the billboard? Is it the TVC? Is it online exposure?
I think it's a combination of everything, mate. I think, you know, I think it's the sum of all parts. You know, billboards, bus backs, ad shells, you know, obviously TV, critical mass stuff. It's, you know, what you do online, it's what you do on air tactically that helps create a buzz. It's what you do stunt-wise that might get you in the paper, like Miss Dress this week. It's just a combination of everything. And you know you've hit the sweet spot when all those kind of things come together. And at some stage, you might not see it in the survey, but at some stage of that survey year, or maybe even 12 to 18 months down the track, you'll end up seeing it, you know. I don't think I've ever really seen a great ad campaign correlate to a survey increase. I think it's always been a long process of continual branding.
Do you spend more time these days on the Triple M brand, or do you sort of divide it? Because you look at it and you think, gee, today must nearly run itself, and I'm sure it doesn't.
But look, here's the thing, though, guys, on the Today Network, make no bones about it. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said before, the distance between being king of the heap and not being king of the heap can be very damn short in this game, you know? It's a long haul and it's hard yakka, and you know, complacency is not part of our company makeup. So, you know, answer to that question, you know, Today FM gets a lot of TLC, as Triple M's getting TLC at the moment.
Yeah, is it important for you to spend some time with the talent, or do the people that report to you do that? Or?
Yeah, you know, as further you get up the tree, the less you do. And it's really for the guys on the ground to build up the rapport, and they're the guys that have to educate and empower the product teams and the talent as well that play out on air. So, you know, you leave it up to the content directors of the respective radio stations, and then you've got Craig there as well, and Rex and Dave Cameron now out of Fox, and those guys do a very good job from a network perspective as well. So, yeah, look, it's important that you seem to be leading the charge, I guess, but at the end of the day, day by day, it's pretty much the guy on the ground that has to build up that relationship, because they're the ones that are steering the ship.
What about other stations in the market? What about Vega? What's your opinion on Vega?
Mate, I've never commented on any of the opposition radio stations. James will tell you this, and I don't intend to start now. God, we've got 14 radio stations in Australia, plus some successful ones we consult in Malaysia as well. And, you know, I have a hard time commenting on those. I don't really have any opinion about what our opposition are doing. And look, you know, at the end of the day, mate, we're all in the same boat. And I want to say the term at the end of the day again, because I think it's really important for the podcast. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same industry. We're all trying to do the same thing day in, day out. We're all trying to, you know, jostle for a better position. And I think full marks to all our opposition radio stations for keeping us honest and for keeping us, you know, one step ahead of the pack. And I always, you know, in terms of listening, in the old days, we used to have one eye over our shoulder at all times, watching what's going on. And sure, we're very aware of what they do, but we just always assume they're doing stuff better than we're doing, which if you come from that that angle, you can't go wrong.
So we can pull a headline out of this Guy Dobson praises opposition.
You can do what you want, mate. I'm totally happy with the sub editing of James Manning in Media Week. I'm not overly happy at times with the syntax error and the grammatical of the ways you put the grammar together. But for the best part, you don't do a bad rag there, mate.
Oh, good on you. Now, look, let me try this with you. You say you're aware of what's happening elsewhere, but how does that happen? Do you just see reports? Do you see playlists? Or do you actually try and spend some time listening to what else is available in the market?
Oh, look, there's tools that we have. There's, you know, your flash logs. There's your media-based playlist that gets sent through. There's, you know, station monitors that the guys on the ground do that send through to you. And, you know, we have... you know, we have various research tools that we go to in-house as well that tell us how we're doing in terms of verbatims and what have you. So, you know, there's loads of information available. But the other day, mate, we have to make sure that our products are best for our targets and our core listeners, and that's the key function here. And the rest, if we can get that right, then the rest should be plain sailing.
What about some of your stations? SAFM and B105 have done all right this year?
Well done.
I want your opinion, obviously. B105 had a tough time with Nova in Brisbane, and under Mitch Brawn, they've done all right over the last 18 months. They've come back.
We've done all right everywhere. I mean, as I said, we've got 14 stations in Australia, include our Newcastle and Canberra stations, and that, and we're doing well. You know, it's there was never any fear of us not doing well in Adelaide, and never any fear of us not doing well in Perth or in Brisbane. But, you know, we don't take these things for granted. And there's no fear of us going to do well in Sydney with both our stations and in Melbourne as well.
The injection of localism on the breakfast show at SAFM in Adelaide sounds great, and it's obviously brought your numbers too.
You love the localism, don't you? You love the localism in the NRL? You're a lovely man, aren't you?
Well, here's the go. Like, I talk to my footy mates in Western Sydney, and they do or
are
don't talk
the
about
that. Used to umpire with?
Yeah, there we go. You know a lot about me. And they do or don't talk about radio stations, so I get a real good feel for what people are or are not saying. Like, I felt, I'll give you real feedback. Phil O'Neill was not connecting with these guys, and I just sense that he will connect with these guys at Triple M in Sydney, because now he's starting to do a little bit of, you know, that NRL stuff, that football stuff, the stuff that they're talking about in Western Sydney.
Look, mate, people don't like change, and radio, the beautiful thing about this business is that it's an emotive medium. It's a medium that connects or doesn't connect. You've got to get close to your audience, and that takes time, you know, and we might have got a lot of things right in the past, but thrown it out because it hasn't rated or whatever, you'd never know, really. But you've got to give things time, you've got to nurture things along, and you've got to just, you know, make those connection points happen every day if you can. And then, you know, you do it by stealth. And, you know, it's not just good enough that you get it right these days, you've got to wait for your opposition to stumble. And it's hard work.
Let's talk a little bit about the ratings. 2 years seems to be the magic time to give a breakfast show a chance to work these days. It used to be a little bit longer, but I think there's probably commercial pressures now that sort of make people perhaps be responding to shareholder sort of concerns or whatever. But 2 years seems to be about it. To me, you look at after three to four surveys, a show seems to get a figure, and it doesn't really seem to change a lot from that. In the rest of its life. Is that a misreading of the figures, do you think?
No, total misreading, mate. I don't know what you've been doing. You should go back and look at some Nielsen. You should go back and look at some old McNair Anderson books, mate. That's showing my age.
But to me, the numbers don't change. The audience seem to get an opinion of a program unless you radically change it, and no one ever seems to do that. The figures will stay the same until that show either.
I know some very successful shows, James, that have taken 3 years to take off, you know. So you know, once again, I'll how long is a piece of string?
You wouldn't persevere with a show for 3 years these days, though, would you, if it wasn't?
Not if a better Porsche came along, you could drive it.
Now, listen, you tell us, you're just back from NAB, I guess, in the States.
Didn't go to NAB, mate. Haven't been to an NAB for 10 years. They're a waste of time and money.
Well, they just had one, so I thought you might have been
there. Nah, mate, full of fat cat Americans who think they know how to do the business, but they've got no idea.
Okay, also, when you go on a sort of, what do you go on, a research or listening trip to the States?
You have people that you connect with and you have done through the years, so you go and catch up with those guys again, and you ask about the state of play of the industry. It was a very interesting time to go there and have a look. I mean, you know, obviously with the GFC and what have you, and how radio is being affected, and, you know, HD over there, which is digital over here, and, you know, where's the industry going? Are they buoyant? Are they optimistic about the future, pessimistic? It was just, a very interesting time to do some recon.
Is there anything interesting happening in the market over there?
Look, they're coming out of, American radio was real estate for 20 years. And, most of it was programmed out of San Antonio and or Cincinnati. So, now they're waking up and going, okay, for us to survive, we'll probably have to offer some decent products. So I think the smart ones will get it right, and the smart ones will start doing some pretty good radio in the next 5 to 10 years. Because when the Americans do it, they do it very well.
Does those comments mean that you're saying that you think Australia's got the best radio in the world at the moment or in recent times?
I think we should be very, very proud of what we did. I think we have to thank organisations like DMG, and I've said this before. I don't comment on product that's being made, but I can certainly comment on the radio industry. And I think, you know, they challenged us 10 years ago and made us better at what we do. So in turn, it made ARN better at what they did. And we invested in the industry and we didn't try to network everything, out of Canberra or wherever. We've put together some pretty good shows, Hamish and Andy being one of them. Other shows, some other networks as well, and I think it's a testament to the radio people in this country that we've invested in the business, and we've kept it alive, and we've kept it relevant. And there's a whole generation of people growing up in America because it's been so poor for so long. You know, we're talking about the early to mid 90s here, 10, 12, 15 years. These people are the iPod generation now and couldn't give a toss about radio. Care about, you know, what happens on their iPod or other internet radio stations in between the FM dial. So, they've got a hard job trying to shift some attitudes over there.
Yeah. Is there anything you missed from your early days in radio? Now you're sort of at the top of the tree in management?
And Revoxes. You know, those sort of machines, the ones where you could get the China graph out and splice.
Yes. Are you still on the air at all? Do you fill in occasionally? I know you used to do it across summer.
Only on crappy little podcasts on Media Week.
Yeah, right, okay. Hey, just tell me, digital radio went to air this week in Perth. What sort of feedback were you getting?
I've heard Perth's on a 3-hour delay, isn't it?
2 hours at the moment.
I haven't heard too much feedback at this stage.
Right.
We've heard nothing back on the greater populace talking about digital radio.
Do you, part of the Brains Trust that plots the Austereo digital strategy?
Always part of the Brains Trust that does. What does that mean? We're out of time at MCM. You've got to pay Tony McGinn more money. always part of the Brains Trust, James.
Oh, God, you've done very well. You're evading a lot of questions here, but it's great. Great job of it.
I don't know why that was. It was an answer. I'm always part of the Brains Trust.
Yeah, no, sure you are. That's
right. I could easily have said Turkey. And that would have
what
been
do you think
question.
Digital radio will do over the next 2 to 3 years?
What do I think digital radio will do over the next 2 to 3 years? Without giving too many of our plans away, and we do have them, have several plans. Look, I think it's just going to. I think it's a nice, innovative addition to radio. I think it's you know, AM, FM, digital, online, in store, in plane, ubiquity's the key, mobile's the key. It's just all part of our future. As a standalone medium, you know, it's pretty much in the same boat as Freeview, and HDTV, and it's there. It's here to stay. It's how can you monetize it, and how can you monetize it without spending too much money on it, but deliver some great product.
I'm loving the idea of pink radio.
Yes, it's a nice use of the digital spectrum, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's pretty much under a bigger banner of event radio for us, and what we'll do is we'll use that for upcoming tours and big things that happen and big sporting events, etc. And it's going to be. It's going to be a good way to use up our bandwidth.
To me, it seems to highlight how little attention perhaps radar has been given since it launched. I mean, it seemed a nice idea, but it didn't really... Well, there's been very little chatter or anything about it. Am I wrong there? But Pink seems to have really... You really get the idea there and you think, oh, wow, you know, that sounds great.
Well, it's only because it's been launched this week and it shows... absolute novel use of the digital spectrum there, James. I mean, radar, we've got bands knocking at our door. We've got a three-pronged attack for radar. Radio stations about new music discovery. That's what it's about. And it's about linking you with bands and community of bands and, musicians from their bedroom and all that kind of stuff. And, we've got about three or four or five phases to go with that yet. And some pretty exciting news to announce on that in the next 3 to 4 to 5 months as well. So, this stage, we're not firing all our salvos at once. And it's softly, softly catchy monkey for us in digital,
Do you have any crossover with your analog stations, if you like, and radar at all? Because one of your opposition stations, Nova Nations, so there's a bit of crossover between Nova Nation and Nova, which might help drive the business.
Radar's more Triple J and more FBI than FBI. It's grassroots, upload your demos, let's let the world hear them. And as I said, there's three or four more phases to go with that yet. And we're very pleased with where that is at this stage and where it's going to end up.
Okay, look, we might just wind this up. One more thing, when we're mindful of your valuable time, what's your sort of highlights for the year to come? What would you like to see and what you'll be working hard for this year?
Oh, geez, peace and unity in the Middle East, I would say.
Right. Perhaps closer to home, we were thinking.
That's a very, very hard question there, James. What would I like to see in the next 12 months?
A bit of a
just continued success. I'd like to see continued success for our organisation. I'd like to find the next Hamish and Andy, or maybe something close, resembles Hamish and Andy for the future. Continue to develop great talent internally with our product teams and on the air.
Okay. I was at a function once, and the guy in the cubicle beside me, Guy, said that he was on air with Hamish and Andy at Fox FM or on the community radio station in Melbourne until he was dropped. And he said that possibly it could have been Hamish and Andy and this other guy who ended up becoming a production guy over at Rove's Production Studios. And I think he now does a Saturday morning TV show on Channel 10.
Mm.
So maybe he's a potential talent.
Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe we've already spoken to him.
Oh.
You never know.
I'm
very sceptical, mate, of people who talk to people in toilet cubicles.
Hey, before we go, Guy, any questions you would like to ask yourself or we should have asked you that you don't think we've asked?
No, mate. You've asked everything and you've asked too many. And I hope you've got that roller and the Revox and the splicing tape and the China graph and you're going to edit this down to a reasonable length. And you take out, at the end of the day, my fifth reference to that is my crutch that I fall on when I'm struggling to give you a well-formulated answer.
Wonderful. You've been listening to Guy Dobson, who's been in Melbourne today checking out his Austereo operation down there. He's the National Content Director. And thank you for your time, Guy.
Thanks,
good on
Guy.
You, boys. God bless. God bless you all.
And including James Manning here, the editor of Media Week. What sort of items you got in the magazine this week, James?
We travel up to the Gold Coast this week, speak to the people from Hot Tomato. I think it's one of your early days in radio. You spent some time in the Gold Coast, didn't you, Guy?
Yeah, I love the Gold Coast. Great city.
Yeah, yes. Now, so you can read all about Hot Tomato this week and their surge in the ratings.
Wonderful. If you come back to mediaweek.com.au, you can check out the latest podcasts that are here at the end of every week.
mediaweek.com.au.